Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Left of Straight Show Interviews, the premier podcast that shares the stories of our amazing LGBTQ community and, of course, fantastic straight allies, all from entertainment, foodies, books, music, and advocacy. I'm your host, as always, Scott Fullerton, and let's start talking.
Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Alan.
And we're the co-founders
of Fruit Loots.
So the name Fruit Loots came about because Alan and I were thinking about all of the things that inspired us as kids of a particular age. And we thought of, you know, obviously the cereal brands of our childhood, but then the idea that we could be two fruits that have really great loot was kind of like how the name came about. So spin that around however way you want to, but that's how Fruit Loots was born.
When people get a Fruit Loots box, they can really expect a lot of fun, whimsy, and humor built into our design. We really just wanted to capture a sense of nostalgia. Every sleeve design is unique in and of itself, so it truly is one of those like Easter egg cereal box moments that we want everyone to experience when they receive a gift from us.
So there are three easy ways for you to shop Fruit Loots. Number one, go online and shop our pre-picked, curated gift boxes. All you have to do is pick the theme and then add your message and send it on its way. Number two is build your own box. You pick your gifts, you pick your gift wrap, and then you add your own personalized message to the box, and then we send it on its way. And the third easiest way to shop Fruit Loots is just go on and shop for yourself. So by all means, go online, shop for all the really cool things that we have. There's a lot of great gifts on there for everyone and for you.
Alrighty, guys, today I'm thrilled to welcome Josiah Myers to the podcast. Josiah is not only an entrepreneur and the visionary CEO of the company Arriva, but also a talented musician who's made significant strides in both the music and business worlds, as well as being an ally to LGBTQ and other underserved communities. He's been a mover and a shaker here in the Columbus, Ohio area, starting Arriva from his basement in 2016 and moving on from there. His fantastic music has gone through all sorts of stages, and I've just been loving listening to it. He also even started the City Social Club here in Columbus, so definitely a personality worth watching for. Let's take a quick look at the music.
Friends, you're not the only one I still dream of.
The truth is, you never cared. You slept with another guy. The fact that you made me cry.
Man, this shit still feels like you did in high school.
So fuck you and goodbye. Forget about the sunrise. You fucked up my world, just like I knew you would.
So fuck you and goodbye. Don't kiss me a last time. You fucked up my world, and now you're gone for good.
good.
Josiah, welcome to the program, my friend. How we doing, boss?
Outstanding. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. Like I said, I've been following you offline here for a bit. You have been a mover and a shaker in Columbus, which I appreciate as both a businessman and a musician and doing some things just to bring the city into some fun times, too, with the city social group. You're from the Midwest area, right, all your life?
Yeah, believe it or not, I was born from Amish midwives in Warsaw, Indiana.
Wow.
And so I was at home birth, and I was the only one that was at home birth in my family, one of five kids. Grew up in Warsaw, did a short stint that I don't remember in Detroit, and then Columbus for most of my life outside of going and partying at OU for a few years.
There you go. OU's the place to be, I tell you.
Yeah.
And Columbus is a different city. I mean, it has a lot of positives, but a lot of it can also be cowtown. And boy, if you go out 5 miles any direction, there's not much going on, right?
Yeah, you only know that if you're from there, you've lived there for a little while.
Exactly. Well, talk about your start. I mean, we talked about your business thing. We'll go there for a second before we get into the music. I mean, starting Arriva, tell everyone a little bit of what it's about. It's kind of like an Airbnb type of thing, right? Let everyone know what that was about and what inspired that.
So we started, I started doing short-term rentals in 2016, 2017 out of corporate depression I was in, working for the man, and wearing a suit every single day and had to shave my face every morning, not even night, but morning. And so I just felt like I was going to work and I was in a clown costume and I didn't like it. I got to a point of depression where I was like, I need to find a way out. Early on in the Airbnb heydays, there was only a couple hundred listings and I had a buddy that was doing it out of his basement. And I was shocked to see a Swedish girl walk up out of his stairs. So I was like, hey, what the heck are you doing here? He turned me on to the space. And, you know, essentially compared to the long-term tenants I was running, I was making 2 to 3 times the amount. So you fast forward to today, there's over 10,000 listings. It's a lot harder to make the money. Just like any gold rush in any industry, it's harder to make money. So you're seeing a natural ebb and flow of folks that are fly-by-nighters and people that are actually building real brands. And so Arriva built a real brand off of what we are doing. We're combining both the things that people love about Marriott and Hilton and the consistency, but into more new age, unique type style stays and castles and, you know, cabins in the woods, A-frame lofts, that whole world. There's just a lot more unique offerings that people want. But today we're in 17 markets and we won the Fast 50 this past year. This year we were number 13 on the Fast 50. So lots of exciting growth.
Congratulations. That's amazing. I love that. And there you go. From a Swedish girl coming from the basement, it could have been Airbnb. It could have been OnlyFans. Who knows? You had a couple of choices
exactly.
Together. Very 100%. Cool. I like that. Nice. Well, yeah, I mean, it's such a segmented area. I mean, there's a couple of LGBT ones. I know we have like a Mr. B&B and a Fab Says, and we have, like you said, so many. So what made you kind of think that you can stand out customer service-wise, technology-wise, all the above? What was your kind of inspiration?
Yeah, it's got to be it all. And we fell into this space. And every corner and every facet of it, what I would call a strength or a challenge, has been by accident. Meeting someone that makes a remark or you have a really, you know, valuable conversation with that you remember. But every little piece of it has come from someone or something that struck a vein with us of being important. So from technology and my business partner's background, he sold his company to Accenture and they built OnStar for GM. They were really instrumental in autonomous vehicles for companies like John Deere, Honda, and Ford. And then more into the boutique hotel side of the thing. Our other business partner, Taylor Davis, runs one of the largest historic redevelopment companies in the United States and kind of opened this whole world of the boutique hotel world. And I think every conversation comes down to somebody like that. And so we found our niche in A, let's build useful technology, but B, let's do it by reverse engineering the stay for the guests and make sure that what we are building is not only what they want now, but what they will likely want in the future. So kind of a combination of a few different things, but those two main drivers.
Very smart. That's fantastic. And what did you, what was the perks of all of a sudden working for yourself and leaving the man? And what was it like, oh shit, what I get myself into? How, what were the things you found challenging and rewarding?
I think for anybody who's, who's taken the leap of faith of disconnecting from, you know, the security of a salary and working for the man, the nervousness comes from the, you can't hide. You can't hide from any of the rewards that you're blessed to have or any of the challenges or any of the pains and heartaches. And so, but then you feel alive, like truly alive. When you're the driver's seat, you're in the driver's seat, and every decision in, that you make impacts you, your bottom line, the way you feel, your mental health, your emotional health, all that is unavoidable and impossible to hide from. But you don't have that security. So it's kind of a give and take. You, people love the drug of security with working any job where somebody else is kind of in charge of your salary and what you bring home. But there's also a really cool drug that comes along with being on your own and the adrenaline. And, you know, it's much more painful and much more rewarding, but it's the life for me.
Right. I think one of the things I read that you said are kind of you lean into discomfort. You take what goes on and you're, I think that's a great saying. You really need to kind of take challenges, boot them head on and just be yourself. Right.
100%. Yeah. And I think you find the more discomforting situations that you put yourself into, the more you find yourself and the more that you can remove fear. I think the more that you'll find yourself. And I think human beings get stuck into these complacent routines. And I think it ultimately leads to depression. You got to, every day, in my opinion, you got to be doing something that puts you out of your comfort zone, physically, mentally, and emotionally.
I love that. Very well said. Well, let's talk about the music side. I mean, we have a passion for business. We also have this passion for music. I think I read you had, you were in a band in college, right? At OU there and everything. And
yeah.
Kind of brought into there. Talk about how this live love of music has always been there. Were you always playing? Were you always just singing? What's that love been like?
It started in sixth grade. I was actually tapping pencils with my buddies in middle school. That led to my parents somehow allowing me to get a drum set that I bashed and crashed in my basement. And, yeah, drove them crazy. They ended up getting soundproof walls at one point. And then it led to my uncle showing me how to play on guitar. My first song was Photograph by Nickelback, which is kind of embarrassing depending on if you like them or not. I tend to cringingly like them. And then I learned some Green Day, started naturally singing, and then I fell into the choir. Just on a happenstance, my teacher was like, you need another credit. What do you want to do? Did choir, did some musicals, and then at OU, yeah, started doing cover rock bands. And it led us, or me and my buddy, into this project called Last Youth, which we've gotten a couple of singles signed by Universal Studios. So definitely experienced some cool success and done some Midwestern tours. But more recently, like, I went on a little bit of a hiatus for a year, year and a half, just because things were so crazy on the other side of the work realm, but I've gotten back into it and it feels really good. It feels almost like restarting a startup because you kind of have to regain the trust of your fans, and a lot of them are like, hey, are you releasing music for the long haul or what's going on here? So getting back into that consistency and groove of playing shows every month and releasing songs every month is what we're here to do. So really, really stoked for it.
Well, that was my next question. I mean, we got to talk about balancing a lifestyle. You're a CEO of a company, but you have this love for music. And as you said, they both could be full-time gigs pretty easily. How do you kind of find that balance, not only to get the work done on both sides, but in your heart and your soul to kind of fulfill yourself?
Yeah, I think for Arriva, it's built itself to be kind of a self-operated machine. You can always make an impact. You can always inspect what you expect more. But I had to ask myself the question, like, you know, this is my only life. How much time do I want to be spending on each of these? And I think daily, some days it's like nothing but work or, you know, the hospitality space and the other projects I have going on in that space. Sometimes it's all music. But I want to be honest to myself daily and make sure I'm doing fulfilling work. I would die a regretful man if I shelved music for my entire life. And I'd probably do the same thing if I shelved hospitality. So I think it's a daily grind. It's a daily battle to figure out how to balance out the two. And there's no right answer to it.
No, exactly. I think it's very important because, like you said, you can't. What's the point of having success if you don't have a life? You need to have some kind of an off ramp to kind of get yourself down from there. Everyone says that it's you're in it for the long haul, but you need to have short term successes and short term. You have to have opportunity to fail short term and try new things, right? You can't
absolutely
be in the same old rut.
100%. I totally agree.
What's been the farthest thing out of your comfort zone that you've really kind of taken a dive into, but it's really become awesome on the other side of?
This Frank Sinatra project, as you mentioned that. So these are two completely different projects. The Last Youth is the more pop punk, fun, angsty teenage, you know, stuff that you'd cry to and wear your goth clothes and emo clothes, like all that. That's what I put my soul into that project with. Frank Sinatra is the completely different project, and what we're doing with that has put me out of my comfort zone completely, because I don't operate or talk to traditional composers, to orchestra individuals. Like, they know how to speak real music speak, and I don't, and it's totally put me out of my comfort zone and in a really great way. And in the next 4 months, we're going to be playing at one of the downtown theaters, and we're doing 15 Sinatra songs all the way through with the full big band. And I'm so stoked because I've always been a huge fan of that music style, and to be able to play it in front of 1,000 people in a really classic theater is something that's going to put me out of my comfort zone, but hopefully it's well received and the project can make enough money to be able to continue to do it at least a few times a year. And then from there, we'd love to be able to go and take it to Cleveland, Cincinnati, Louisville, some of the, you know, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and make it a fun thing, because I think it's an underserved market.
Right.
I don't see anyone else that's really doing much Frank Sinatra outside of what Bublé did. The both have been successful, extremely successful in their own right. But I think that for sure has been the most discomforting but rewarding learning that I've been doing over the past couple of months.
Saw a sample of it online. Like I said, we talked about it off earlier. I thought it was amazing. A great cover of that. I love that kind of style. I have a good friend, Spencer Day, who lives down in Mexico, that does that. And it's just such a fun style, right? It gives you
completely different world.
It's a feeling.
Classic,
it's all a
like
feeling.
Romance sort of feeling. Like, and again, it's like, it's so different than what we're dealing with Last Youth, but both of them feel so good in their own right.
So we're going to try, our friend actually made this, so yay gay people.
It's vodka
wow,
soda.
It's vodka soda, different flavors. Look mm-hmm. how cute this packaging is. Oh my God, the cans are so cute. Oh my God, watermelon. Oh my God. Oh shit. Cheers.
Now, you talk about doing this in Cleveland. What's holding you to the Columbus, Cleveland area? I mean, you've got success in your music. You've got success in your business. Is there any place that's ever kind of drawn you to want to go there? I mean, we're talking now, you're on the West Coast, which I love and I'm from originally. What draws you to a place, or is home wherever you happen to be? Are you able to bring that sense of home wherever you're at?
Yeah, I think for me, like, Columbus is always going to be a home. I lived in Lauderdale for a couple of years. And that was fun, and weather was obviously way better than Columbus. But there's such a community in Columbus, and part of what you mentioned earlier in the conversation, the City Social Club. I love the people in Columbus. I have such deep friendships and familyships in Columbus, and there's something that will continue to draw me back there. And I think part of the reason why we built that is, like, I wanted to have that sort of community where people can come and just be themselves and be authentic and party and have fun and network with each other in authentic ways. I don't know if you've ever been to some of these, like, these meetings where it's like networking and you're talking about real estate or gardening or whatever the topic is. Sometimes I walk out of there and I'm just like, I felt so uncomfortable in a bad way. And I don't felt like I was authentic. I don't feel like I really connected to anybody. It's forced conversation. Like, I want to talk like a normal person with a bunch of other people who feel comfortable to be normal and be themselves. And so that's what we're building with City Social. We want to put on fun, unique events at least a few times a month and just bring out people to feel feel comfortable being authentic and being themselves.
We need that so much. I mean, there's all these business circles, right? There's business chamber of commerce things, and there's different kind of groups that get together. Like you said, they're very staid. They're very, let's pass a couple business cards around. We'll pat each other on the back and try to do some sales down the line, right? We're not in the moment having that fun and having that experience. We're kind of living for what the get's going to be later on, right?
Exactly. So. Yeah. And so that's, I'm spending a lot of time on that, and our music folds into it really nicely. We're doing a emo night called Tears and Beers at the Key in downtown, which is, if you haven't heard of or been there, it's one of the coolest venues in all of Columbus. But it'll be classic old school emo tracks from all the favorites, Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, Hawthorne Heights, etc. And then we're going to play probably 10 cover tracks of some of the old school, the Killers, Jimmy Eat World. We're super stoked. But people, if they can have fun and have excitement and have something like that, that's the main focus, then the conversation and the connecting comes so naturally.
Right. No, exactly. And we talked about the technology on your business side. I mean, technology and music changes so much. You're an innovator already. Have you kind of been able to use that innovative mind of yours to kind of join those two worlds together, or has one side helped the other, or vice versa?
Definitely. I think one side has helped the other. I tend to suck when it comes to music production. Like, I'm the guy that when I'm in the studio, I'm just like telling the producer what to do. But being able to speak from what I know on the tech side, more traditional tech, has been super helpful. And I think more so too with other projects, identifying a City Social Club is something that I think we could build our own tech platform, create it to be a membership subscription sort of thing, so that people, if they're in Fort Lauderdale when we scale to those markets or in these other surrounding markets, can feel like they're treated like a little bit of a step up, you know, not necessarily to the level of like a famous person, but it's nice. I think everybody wants that feeling of like, oh, I'm a little bit special. I'm getting a discount. These people are acting like they know me. They're treating me a little bit different. I don't have to wait outside in the line. I can get my reservation really easily. We want to create that experience for people in multiple different markets. And if you can create a vacation off of that, I think it's super helpful. And so from what I've learned from Arriva, I've identified where some of the tech opportunities definitely can be. Not so much on the music side. We'll see if there's a problem to solve on the music side for the business side.
Well, I read that you do that for the business. I think that's amazing. Almost concierge service without them having to ask for it, right? You kind of are starting to build algorithms that will figure out what they want or what they've done in the past and have things ready for them. I think experience is what we're all lacking anymore, right? We need to have that experiential kind of things. And I think that's what you really are just excelling at, my friend.
100%. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I appreciate all the homework that you've done too.
The opposite side of technology, you're like me. You're very much an experiential guy, right? We like to be in the moment. Now we have social media where it feels like it's a whole marketing game 99% of the time. How do you live with that side of the equation? I mean, it's a necessary evil, I think, in both of our games, but how do you deal with the social media and the marketing aspect of everything?
To be honest, I don't love it. I wish that I was like in the 70s or 80s where you just would play shows and then somebody would come sign you at your show and then put your tours together. And it was like not nearly as much of a focus on that. Right. But it's a necessary evil, just like many things that you probably do in your day to day. Like, there's things you wake up, you really look forward to, and there's things that you know you have to do. And so for me, it falls more in the category of know you have to do. And just studying and trying to learn, you know, what's out there that's trending. How are the cameras being angled? What's the lighting like? You know, in this music sphere, I feel like things are constantly changing for what's getting promoted and what's not. But I try to be a study with as much as I can, as I'm sure you do when it comes to, you know, content, what to promote, what's in, what's hot, what platforms to put it on, et cetera.
it's a job in and of itself, but yeah, it's a, like you said, necessary evil. Now talk about, I mean, you're so good at these experiences. What do you look for both on the business side? What are you looking for in a property that gets you excited? And what are you looking in a venue when you're playing music that gets you excited?
I think both of them, they both fall into the same category of like uniqueness in like the theater, for instance. Like, have you been to the Ohio Theater?
Yes. Yeah. It's fantastic.
You walk in and you're just like, holy shit, I'm in a different world. And that feeling you get of walking into a place that's got so much history or uniqueness, as opposed to just kind of going into some cookie cutter venue that was just built and looks like something that was made out of a manufacturing shipping plant. Like, there's just a different experience that the consumer gets. And the same can be said on the Arriva side, short-term rental hotel side. You go into a forest with 20 different A-frame lofts that are surrounded by a pool in the middle where it's communal and you can kind of spend time with others if you want to, or maybe there's a food cart that's out there that people can order from on a consistent basis. Like, those are the kind of experiences that are driving what I like to do, because I think it's worthwhile work and it's rewarding work. I don't know how the people like at Motel 6 and some of these like side of the highway stays get up in the morning and do what they do, because it's like, it's not fun. The people that are staying there aren't having fun. I get that there's a budget and there's a niche for it, but that's not what gets me excited, to be able to wake up both in music. Like, if I was waking up and just creating stuff that I thought people wanted to hear as opposed to what I wanted, it would get old. And I think the same thing is to be said on the short-term rental side. And I think in the boutique hotel side, I think the same thing can be said about any industry.
Well, I think that's where innovation comes in. You have to go from that corporate technology or corporate mindset to a customer-driven or experiential mindset, right? That's the whole difference. If you're working at the Motel 6, then you got to make sure you go by all the rules. Or if you have this innovative company that's telling you, let's make the guest experience the best it can be and empower you to do these kind of things, I think that's what we're all looking for these days, right?
100%. Yeah. And like what Steve Jobs was able to do, I think obviously everybody knows who he is and he's famous for it. But he had such a focus on what does the customer actually want? How do we create what we think that they want based on the data and the information that we're pulling in? And I think, yeah, a lot of companies are doing it really well, but more companies need to be thinking that way too.
Right. Yeah. I was in restaurant for a prior life for about 20 years or so. And I worked for one restaurant that just company culture was everything. I know that if you spilled a drink on somebody, we were all based in malls. We're like a Rainforest Cafe type thing.
Yeah,
you'd
yeah.
go out and buy that person a new shirt. You'd bring a new shirt to them. Or if you didn't have the kind of drink they want, you went to the restaurant, the food court and got them a drink. And those kind of things are, that's a corporate culture, right? And those are the kind of things you got to try to find a way to balance to make it smart for the company, but great for the guests. So I love 100%. Those kind of things.
Yeah. And when you're truly actually giving a shit and caring about that person's experience and going out of your way, those are rewarding things for the folks that are fulfilling it on the business side too. There's not a bad, like for me, I was in a conversation with a girl I like last week and I told her, I was like, I literally get like high off of helping you. Like, she called me, her car was broken down and she needed help. She was like, I'm so sorry. I don't want to like, you know, mess your day up. No, I want to help. This is what like gets me out of bed, being able to know that I made an impact on someone I care's life. But yeah. Anyways, kind of going off on the side tangent.
I love that story. and I wanted to touch on that too. You started your own foundation. I saw you on a television show. You use your hotels or whatever, your boutiques, to help some refugees at one time. I mean, you're all about giving back, and that's why I love having Straight Allies on the show, because people that care about different communities, any community, is a bonus. So that seems like it's in your DNA. Where did you get that from, your parents or something you just learned early on, or how did you kind of get that giving attitude?
You know, I mean, growing up, I think we were good at giving. to each other. We never, like, when I was growing up, I never had, like, my dad or my mom be like, you need to give to charity, you need to do this. But we were always, like, giving to each other. One of five siblings, lots of friends in high school. And so informally, I think we always gave. And then I think where it became a little bit more serious for me and in the front of my mind was my fraternity at OU, like, led the school at raising money for pancreatic cancer because one of our buddies in the frat, his grandma passed away from it, and it struck a chord with us. I think from that moment on, I was like, okay, there's got to be a way to be able to give back in any of these moments. And I think it's so easy if you just open your eyes on, like, what's happening on the TV. The refugee situation was a huge thing a couple years back. And it's like, okay, we've got a company, we've got funds, we've got resources. Why would we not, like, give some sort of effort? Same thing with the whole pandemic, the caregiver shelter fund. We house about 75 nurses and doctors. It's like, okay, we're not going to sit on the sidelines. And I think when you do those things, it resonates with the community, and it obviously has a great impact on the actual mission of the work that you're doing. But people hear about it, and it becomes associated with our brand. So there's obviously other benefits to it. The refugee scenario was wild. Wild. Just a crazy experience, a crazy learning experience for us. Culture shock of that situation, not the language barriers, not being able to talk to these folks that were staying in our house.
Right.
Is wild. But it puts things in perspective.
Exactly. It's amazing you did that. What is success for you? You've had a great success at your business. You're having very much success in your music. You seem like the kind of person that is never wants to be complete, right? You're always reaching for the next thing. But how do you measure your success, and how do you give yourself a pat on the back on occasion? Are you able to do that?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. I'm very – every day I wake up, I have different buckets of success. One is mental health success. And doing my mental health and my physical health routine. So every 5-6 days a week, I work out. After my workout, I do a hot sauna, I do my breath work, and I do a cold plunge. I have to. If I do that in one day, then it's like a check off my bucket of, like, all right, I was successful with my mental, and I was successful with my physical that day. The others, I think just the daily pursuit. I think I tell people a lot, and buddies of mine that are in business and other folks that are colleagues with, it's more the act of the daily doing, not necessarily the result that you get at the end of it, that's more important in terms of measuring success. And so every day that I wake up and I'm putting a conscious effort towards my music in smart and creative ways, conscious efforts towards my business pursuits, that's a success to me. Where it will end up, who knows? And something that I can do better is, like, create these more long-term goals of, like, hey, what I want to do today will lead to X, Y, and Z. I, of course, have those, but I think maybe I get too caught up in the daily successes that I'm not thinking about the end result as much.
Right, right. And then how much are you able to spend in me time a day? I mean, you do all these strong pursuits. It sounds like you do try to center yourself in the mornings or whatever. You try to get yourself centered. What do you do when you can spend time with Josiah? What kind of recharges your batteries?
The social club for sure helps me recharge. I love seeing people hanging out, having a good time. You know, there's natural introverts and natural extroverts. I tend to be a natural extrovert. So getting out in front of people, getting out with family members, going, grabbing a bite, going for long walks, doing something physical, hiking out in Seattle is phenomenal. Strategically, I kind of positioned City Social to be somewhat of a business venture, but something that I truly enjoy. So I'm kind of like muddying the waters with it. But but yeah, I like to do a lot for fun. My nice. Friends that know me best wouldn't complain and say, "Oh, Josiah needs to get out more." They'd probably say the opposite.
I love that. Yeah. Josiah Myers, it's been exciting to have you on the show. What is your best advice for life? I always like to ask everyone what's your advice to succeed. You're very successful in your music and your business. What do you think is important for anyone to succeed, at least personally? You don't have to succeed and make jillions of dollars, but how do you succeed in life and make yourself happy?
I think a lot of people are depressed these days. I think a lot of what that comes down to is them not being honest with themselves about their pursuits. And so really ask that question. Are you doing what you truly want to be? And if it's not, yes, I'm not saying go quit your job right now, but make real steps towards getting into a place where you want to be. I think if people actually do what they want to do in life, a lot of that depression goes away. And so that's what I'm doing with my music. That's what I'm doing with the social club, my business pursuits. And I'm a really happy guy. I wasn't always. And so there's a lesson to be learned for that. And for anyone that's listening, I hope that they can take a plunge into taking steps towards being themselves if they're not.
You deserve all the success and all the joy, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Let everyone know where they can find your music. Remind them the name of your band and where they can find you on the socials.
Yeah, at Last Youth Band on socials. At Josiah Freaking Myers is my personal page. And then at Arriva for Arriva. So, yeah, happy to connect with anybody that follows. Feel free to shoot me a DM.
Amazing. Well, stay on the line for me. Guys, we're going to have a special 5 questions with Josiah next week. Be sure to look for that. We always appreciate talking to great allies for the community and great business people and smart people out there. Thanks so much for your time, Josiah, and we will see you all next week. You're listening to the Left to Straight Show right here on the Left to Straight Radio Network. Bye-bye.
I saw you, wasted, blacked out downtown, it's a motherfucker, yeah. And now you're too fucked up to even come back home and kiss me. We don't need no exaggerated meltdown, no. Just hold my hand for the calm down, and we'll run away from this ghost town. I wrote these songs for you, with a broken smile at a cheap motel. You're blacked out, faded as a motherfucker, yeah. You were just my type at the wrong damn time. You felt way too good from the inside. You look way too good from the bedside. I wrote these songs for you, with a broken smile at a cheap motel for sale. You said you loved me so, and a sunset view and it's fun, cause I still tell. I still tell. Yeah, it's fucked up, baby, I still miss you. Yeah, it's fucked up, I still do, fed as a motherfucker, yeah. You were just my type at the wrong damn time. I felt way too good from the inside. You look way too good from my bedside.
You were blacked out, faded as a motherfucker, yeah. You were just my type at the wrong damn time. You look way too good from the outside. You were too afraid to come inside.
Thanks for listening to The Left of Straight Show. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast distributor, and please give us a 5-star rating so more listeners can find us. You can follow us on social media, and be sure to check out our website, www.leftofstraightradio.com, for contests and other news and information. See you next week.